Welcome back to another action-packed episode of the Deadly Podcast of Kung Fu, brought to you by the Villains Man with myself, Justin Raymer, as I attempt to traverse the continuity of Marvel's most prolific martial artists in Iron Fist and Shang-Chi. If you want to keep up with the podcast, you can do so over on X, Instagram, Threads, and Blue Sky. If you want to keep up with myself, Justin, you can do so over on X and Instagram. Now today, we'll be continuing the second part to the end of the Iron Fist series in Marvel Team-Up with issue 64. Oddly enough, as I was recording and editing last week's episode for Marvel Team-Up 63, I didn't realize that was actually dropping on episode 63. So oddly enough, this is dropping on episode 64. So issues 64 and 63 on episode 64 and 63. Kind of threw me for a loop. Didn't think about it. Now before we get into the episode, there's some big news regarding the MCU. This past week, Echo just dropped over on Disney Plus, and with the release, it's been announced that all the Netflix series are now canon. You can go to Disney Plus, you can go to the MCU timeline, and Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, and the Defender series are all right there in the timeline. And most of them take place right before Civil War. Sadly enough, that would have been an interesting plot point for those series. I could see that being like season two of the Defenders, Civil War taking place, and that would have been a perfect opportunity to introduce like new heroes that worked for the Sokovia Accords to take on the Netflix Defenders. Sadly enough, we'll never get it. Probably will never go back and ever get any of that tied into anything, like any flashbacks or nothing, and that kind of sucks. Big opportunities missed there. Now what's interesting about this is we talk Iron Fist on this podcast. We already have Shang-Chi movie and The Legends of the Ten Rings. So now, Danny Rand, Colleen Wing, Misty Knight, Luke Cage, all characters that are involved in this podcast, are now all part of the MCU and they've been established. So that leaves us with some questions. If you look at the end of the Iron Fist series, we split the Iron Fist into basically two paths. We have Danny Rand and Warrior Meacham in Japan, and we see that Danny now has twin guns, which he is firing chi bullets out of, which is very much an Orson Randall thing. Far more on that character, far on beyond the podcast. But if you've not ever read Immortal Iron Fist, please do so. And then as for Colleen Wing, she is a descendant of the Pirate Queen of Pinghai Bay, which is very interesting. And she's probably my favorite character on that show. Seems to be a lot of people's favorite character on that show, as we know that she has now become an Iron Fist herself with channeling the chi through her sword, and a lot of people want her to continue on as Iron Fist. Not gonna lie, so do I. But I gotta have Danny Rand. He's a guy, he's the reason I do this podcast through the comic books. Can't really hate Finn Jones for how that series went in his portrayal of Iron Fist in the story, but the showrunner for that show was Scott Buck, and if it tells you anything about this guy, he was a guy that also was a showrunner for Inhumans, which is probably the most hated piece of MCU storytelling that there is. Now, the one issue this poses with what's been in the MCU is now we have multiple mystical cities tied to martial arts, for lack of a better term to use here, because we have Tao Lo with Shang-Chi, and now we have Kunlun with Iron Fist. Now, in the comics, they're not really tied. Kunlun is part of the capital cities, and then Tao Lo is more like the canopy of heaven above, which we see first appear in Thor 301, and there's no connection between the two at all. And even Tao Lo itself has not really been a thing outside the one issue of Thor until we started seeing it in the latest Shang-Chi runs. So there's a lot that they can use to connect these mystical cities that are basically their own dimensions outside of Earth. I do not want to see them tied together. I've seen where people's like, oh, let's put Tao Lo as part of the capital cities of heaven. And I'm like, no, leave it its own thing. There's no need for that. There can be another mystical city that has a dragon there. It's not a big deal. It all fits into Asian lore and culture. We don't need to change that for the benefit of the show. Now, with that being said, before I continue with the episode, go check out I Am Iron Fist and all the social media accounts as he's continuing to count down the 50 days until the anniversary of Iron Fist So let's jump into the issue at hand. As I said, Marvel Team Up 64. It was released on September 27th, 1977, along with 12 other issues from Marvel. Complete Fantastic Four Volume 1, Number 1. Fantastic Four Volume 1, Number 189. Howard the Duck Volume 1, Number 19. Iron Man Volume 1, Number 105. John Carter, Warlord of Mars, Volume 1, Number 7. Marvel Premiere, Volume 1, Number 39. Peter Parker, The Spectacular Spider-Man, Volume 1, Number 13. Spidey Super Stories, Volume 1, Number 29. Tarzan, Volume 1, Number 7. What If, Volume 1, Number 6. Marvel Classic Comics Series featuring Prisoner of Zenda, Volume 1, Number 1. And Marvel Classic Comics Series, again, featuring The Arabian Nights, Volume 1, Number 1. Even though those probably aren't really volumes, they're just single issues, and they just seem to call them Volume 1 these days, just, you know, in case Marvel wants to throw another one-shot out there. The title of our issue is called If Death by My Destiny. Your creative team is writer Chris Claremont. Pencils go to John Byrne. Inks and colors go to Dave Hunt, just like in the previous episode. The letters go to Gaspar Saladino and Bruce Patterson. Gaspar Saladino is only credited with one page on the Grand Comic Book Database. Your editor is Archie Goodwin. The cover is done by Dave Cockrum, and it completely fits what's in this story. A fight between Steel Serpent, Spider-Man, and the Daughters of the Dragon. Now, the beat-up Iron Fist, which is hid cleverly underneath Spider-Man's outstretched leg, he gets involved in the fight towards the end. But everybody that's in this book that's going to fight Steel Serpent are on this cover in this fight. Really excellent cover. Love both covers of both these issues. Love them. What I do like about this is the first one is Marvel Team-Up featuring Spider-Man and Iron Fist. This one is Spider-Man and the Daughters of the Dragon. They get top billing. They're kind of the forefront of this book for most of it until the very end. So, well-deserved by them ladies. Really hope we get an MCU series with the Daughters of the Dragon. They deserve it. I know that was a part of the thing with the Netflix, throwing it back that way. Really want to see Colleen Wing and Misty Knight get their own thing. So let's move on with the synopsis of the story. 20 minutes after his defeat at the hands of Steel Serpent, Iron Fist is near death in Colleen Wing's apartment. As a nurse leaves, she recommends to Colleen to move her friend to a hospital. She refuses, prompting a disagreement between her and Spider-Man if keeping Danny's identity needs to be a big secret. A worried Misty Knight sits at his bedside and expresses her love despite the argument that came between them months ago. Unknowing to Misty, Danny regains consciousness and confesses that he feels the same. Unsure of exactly what is going on, Spider-Man explains to Colleen Wing about the blinding light between Iron Fist and Steel Serpent that led to their friend's defeat. With Danny slipping back into unconsciousness again, Misty informs Spidey that Steel Serpent stole his chi, which is also his immortal soul. She expresses that if they can't reverse the transferal, Danny will die without it. With an idea of where Steel Serpent could be, Spider-Man leaves to seek him out. Out on the rooftops, Davos contemplates and weighs his past failures against his recent victory. As a webline breaks him from his thoughts, Spider-Man attempts to attack Steel Serpent, but underestimates him. Before the two can truly come to blows, Misty Knight surprises Davos, grabbing his chi-charged fist with her bionic arm and slamming it to the wall. When Colleen Wing joins the fight and begins swinging her scabbard towards Steel Serpent, Spider-Man intervenes and webs the weapon, allowing the villain to escape. He gives chase but fails to stop Steel Serpent as he begins to enhance himself with a chi. Finding himself cornered with no chance to escape, Parker's luck pulls through as Iron Fist arrives and calls out another duel to Steel Serpent. The two renew their fight and Danny quickly realizes Davos is failing to use any of his skills due to the chi becoming uncontrollable. Realizing something is amiss, Spider-Man wants to help, but Colleen stops him, informing Peter this is a matter of honor and he doesn't need to interfere. As the chi burns Steel Serpent alive, he refuses to yield. With no other choice, Iron Fist grabs him as Davos did before. Their connection creates a powerful explosion, causing the heroes to fear that their friend has died. From the smoldering crater, Iron Fist emerges with no traces of Steel Serpent to be found. Misty Knight runs to him, kissing him for the first time. Danny attempts to explain to the three what was going on with Davos and the chi when he was interrupted by Spider-Man, who finally realizes when he remembers meeting Misty Knight. Epilogue. In the inner sanctum of UT, Lee Kung watches the Knight's events unfold in the scrying crystal. He's surprised and begins to ask for forgiveness as Nuon calls his name for being in his personal quarters. He informs the Thunderer there is no need for apologies, for he knows what has happened and is saddened as well. They dwell on the fears and mistakes of the past as UT suggests Danny's time in Kung Lun is nothing more than a dream to him. Lee Kung somewhat disagrees, feeling that the story is far from over. This is an excellent ending to an excellent story. I don't know why Archie Goodwin, the editor at the time of these books, would not allow us to have an issue 16 and 17 of Iron Fist just to wrap up this story. Now, given Spider-Man probably wouldn't be involved, I'm sure that Chris Claremont had to work that around since he was working on Marvel Team-Up to actually bring the story to these two issues. But I'm very curious to how the story would have went without Spider-Man being involved if it was the ending to the original Iron Fist solo series. You can't help but think about that because, well, and maybe I'm wrong. Iron Fist did have a lot of Marvel heroes and villains show up in his book that were, you know, that are quite popular or even would become popular at the time. You know, the first issue was Iron Man. We also had Captain America. We had the Wrecking Crew. We have the X-Men. We have Boomerang, who had become a Spider-Man villain later on that was very known, very popular. Then we had Sabretooth, who was not known, he was debuting, but would become the major popular character that he is today, being known as Wolverine's best nemesis. So I'm very curious if Spider-Man would actually be in the story. Now, the important thing of the story is we're getting the origin of Davos, which takes us to a time before Danny was in Kung Lun, and we learn that as a teenager, he and Wendell Rand, Danny's father, were both in Kung Lun training to become the Iron Fist. And during their duel, Wendell had Davos beat and asked him to yield, which he would not. And then Tuan, the UT at the time, called the duel off and said there was no need for a warrior of Kung Lun to die, and that Wendell Rand was considered the winner and would move on to face Sho Lao for the power of the Iron Fist. This infuriated Davos, who decided to leave and on his own go take the dragon on, which he failed, and when he grappled Sho Lao, the emblem of the Iron Fist, the branding, was burned on his chest without the wings, almost in a serpent, hence the name, Steel Serpent. Once he was found out by Lee Kung, who carried him back to the city, he was banished by UT forever. Now, when he leaves, we don't know. We know that Wendell Rand never accepted the power of the Iron Fist. He left himself. So I'm assuming they must have left at the same time, giving the time frame that 10 years later, Wendell comes back with Heather, his wife, and his son, Danny. So for being the main nemesis of Iron Fist, and basically he's a mirror version of him. It's a very popular villain idea for the time. I really like this origin. I'd like to see more of when he left Kung Lun, the things that he did, because if he left Kung Lun when Wendell left, and then Wendell come back 10 years, he's been gone for 20 years. So what has he done? What has he been up to? Like, how long has he waited for Danny to leave Kung Lun? Did he know that Danny was in Kung Lun? Which he had to, because otherwise, how would he know that he was the Iron Fist? So it's very interesting to think about the possibilities of what this character's been up to for literally 20 years of his life, because at this time, he's got to be his late 30s, early 40s. What has he done being exiled on Earth for all that time? So let's go ahead and move on to the fight. It's a pretty good fight. Everybody gets involved. Like I said, the cover depicts this book really, really well. Spider-Man interrupts this inner monologue, his thoughts where we're getting his origin, and literally webs Steel Serpent and tries to pull him to him and punch him more like you would see in the Spider-Man video games. And he realizes immediately that he is screwed up. He is outclassed by skill, and Davos kind of hands it to him, tossing him around with all of his martial arts skill, which kind of throws Spider-Man off, and then he throws it back to our other guy in this podcast, Shang-Chi. Now, we know we had a Shang-Chi reference in issue 63, and now we're getting to one right here. So Davos throws him again, throws him off the building, which Spider-Man, with his speed, you know, bounces off one wall, bounces off one, lands on the alley below. And he says, he's good a Kung Fu or a Shang-Chi. He'd have to be able to take on Iron Fist, which makes this clown something special. And as deadly in his own way as any goon I've ever faced. So as of right now, the kid gloves come off. So this is where Spider-Man starts to take this fight far more seriously, realizing this is a powerhouse character, much like you would be fighting like Rhino or the Scorpion, someone who's physically or stronger or maybe as fast as him. During this, Davos gets a jump on him. He does a flying kick, which forces Spider-Man to roll with the punch. So Spider-Man's not even fast enough to get out of this. It's his spider sense, which warns him. Let Spider-Man finally hit him. And then Davos takes the blow, which kind of shocks Spider-Man. Kind of shocks Davos that he's that strong. And before he can hit him with some of the chi, which I would really like to see how this went, Misty Knight comes out of nowhere with the bionic arm, grabs him, slams him against the wall. Before he can react, Colleen Wing jumps in with her samurai sword, her katana. It's in the scabbard, she's not unleashing it, and she just slams him right in the chest with this thing. Spider-Man realizes that Colleen has a very good chance of actually killing him, so while they're fighting below, he jumps down, webs her sword, which allows Davos to hit her and take off running. Because Spider-Man realizes he could easily kill them. I don't think he's doing it for the fact that he's worried about anybody getting killed. I think he realizes that Davos is pretty confident about killing them if need be. Well, anyways, finally, Spider-Man runs, web lines, kicks him, and they begin their fight as he begins to charge the chi again. And Spider-Man's blows, he knows he's got to be hitting him harder than he would a normal human, and they're not doing anything to Davos. And Davos gets him cornered, they're on this baseball field, and he gets him behind the diamond plate. Home base, if you know anything about baseball. And for some reason, Spider-Man like cannot jump past the fence. I don't understand that. Davos tells him, "I have you, hero." Hemmed in by the baseball backdrop, you're trapped. Spider-Man says, "He's right. I can't jump the fence from this angle. And if I try to climb, he'll just smash the whole thing down." He's Spider-Man. He should be able to easily clear this fence. And I'm not even saying that Davos is that fast, but obviously, Spider-Man has to be the fast, so maybe he's just scared. I don't know. To me, that makes not a lot of sense. I understand that the fence behind home plate is curved forward, but I mean, why couldn't he just jump up and swing himself out past Davos over the fence, even though he says he's going to smash it? I mean, there's plenty of options there, but like I said, he's not been able to take Davos out with a punch at this point. This is where Iron Fist shows up, makes the challenge again, which gives Spider-Man the chance to do exactly what I said. Jump up, grab the fence. He kicks Davos in the back of the head, takes a cheap shot on him, and suffers for it as Davos backhands him with the chi, which pretty much lays him out. So Davos and Danny begin their fight at this point. And during the fight, he's realizing that Davos isn't using any of his training. He's just purely relying on all this chi. And this is where Iron Fist is trying to figure out, what's wrong with this? I don't understand this. He should be as prepared for this chi much as I am. And then he realizes this glow, and to quote the book as they're fighting and Iron Fist is dodging blows, it's reaching up to Davos' arm, burning away his costume. It's like the times I've used the Iron Fist to heal my wounds, only with Davos, the power is like a wild thing. Instead of curing him, it's feeding off him. Heart of the Dragon, it can't be, but there's no other answer. The Iron Fist is a force of will. The power of Sha'alau can be shaped by the warrior who possesses it, but above all, it has to be controlled. So, it almost makes it sound like you have to be the one that gets accepted by the dragon to control the chi and be able to wield it. And that's just kind of what I take when every time I've read this issue. Now, at this point in the fight, where Davos is like supercharged and Iron Fist is trying to avoid him at all costs, Spider-Man wants to jump in and help, and Colleen Wing stops him, and I love this. This is pretty great. She says, "Leave him alone. Misty, Spider-Man, listen to me, please. I have a special kind of rapport with Iron Fist. You can check that out." They're kind of mind-melded when Danny uses his chi to break the hold of her mind control back in issues 6 and 7. "I know what he feels, how he thinks. I know him. Being Iron Fist is more than wearing a fancy costume and having a fist that glows in the dark. It's an ideal, a dream. It's believing in a code of honor and a tradition that lasted a million years. Don't you see? Iron Fist has to prove, here and now, to himself, more than anyone, that he is worthy of his name and all that goes with it." Spidey says, "What if he loses?" She says, "Then, at least, he'll have died with honor." Spider-Man obviously has to have the last line. He says, "He'll still be dead, Colleen. But it's the warrior's code, dying with honor." But anyways, at this time, Iron Fist Ross, he has to do what Davos did to him before he explodes. He runs up, he grabs him in the bear hug, transfers the chi, and there's this massive explosion. And they do a real good job of really making you think that this could be Davos after the explosion, because Misty screams. We see a smoldering man in the crater. We don't know who it is. It's all in orange and blacks. He stands up. We know that Iron Fist and Steel Serpent are dressed the exact same. The clothes are all burned away. The chi is glowing on the fist. Still could think it's Davos, but Danny says Misty. And once again, he's retained the power of Shaolau. Now this fight ends with a big moment. We get the kiss between Misty Knight and Danny Rand, which a lot of people assume is the first interracial kiss in comics. It's not. Some people will trail it back to Amazing Adventures number 31, still from Marvel Comics, but it's not. It's Creepy 43, which predates Amazing Adventures by about a year. But if you're like going through collectors, they'll tell you that, you know, Amazing Adventures is the first comic book superhero genre kiss. But Creepy 43 is the first interracial kiss. Still, a big moment for Marvel, a big moment for these characters. And after this, we know that not only, you know, or we get this interracial kiss, we know that next, Danny Rand will team up with Luke Cage to keep the interracial bonds that Danny Rand will be tied to for a long time between both of these characters. So on one final note for this book, and the way that this book ends, as Danny's trying to explain what's going on, Spider-Man just got to the butt in because he's Spider-Man, and this is why a lot of the heroes find him annoying. He says, "Misty, something's been bugging me all evening. Have we met before?" She says, "I was wondering when you'd ask." "We sure have, Webhead. A few Christmas Eves back, I got jumped by some muggers on my way to a party in Jersey. You and some dude in a flying bathtub took care of them for me." So what they're referencing here is one of the first retcons that we're kind of seeing in Marvel here. And with the lore of Iron Fist, Clarice Claremont is now retconning Misty's first appearance in Marvel Premiere 21 is now Marvel Team-Up number 1. And the guy in the bathtub she's talking about is Johnny Storm in the Fantastic Car. Him and Spider-Man team together to track down the Sandman, who's been running around in Jersey, and they just happen to stumble upon a black woman with an afro with some groceries in her hand. And now they're saying that it's Misty Knight. I get the retcon. It's smart. I read the issue. I've never read it before. So yeah, I can see where you could say that's Misty Knight. But we know that Misty Knight probably wouldn't take shit from these muggers, even without the bionic arm, because we're not sure if she has a bionic arm at that point with the retcon. I'm pretty sure she could have handled both of them. But anyways, really good story. In a flashback to issue 63, they kind of fix the image with the transferring of chi between Davos and Danny. It's not the stitch pattern serpent or dragon on their chest. It's just whited out from, I'm going to assume, white hot chi energy transferring between both of them. So it's a good thing John Byrne fixed that. Maybe he realized his mistake on that issue or afterwards, how when it was colored, how it was made to look that awful. But overall, like I said, really two good stories here. It upsets me now that you've read these and you've heard me talk about them, you know, that as an Iron Fist fan, you should be upset. These were not issues 16 and 17. Seeing the Iron Fist run, it's a great ending. The only thing that's left open at this time is Bushmaster and what's going to happen with him putting out the hit for Misty Knight. But I'm going to go ahead and wrap this episode up. I think next week I'm going to go ahead and cover Master of Kung Fu, the issue between the last storyline that I covered, which was the China Seas Saga. I think it's issue 54, 55, which is just a one-shot in the middle of those. But I'm Justin Raymer, and you've been listening to Deadly Podcast Kung Fu. You follow the podcast over on X, Instagram, Blue Sky, and Threads. If you like my music, check out Rushing Tiger by Kuro over on SoundCloud. But remember, guys, support your favorite comic book shops. Support your favorite podcast and keep reading comics, guys.